Welcome back into the second segment of the show here at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. I want to send out a huge thank you to Mike Yuva. Some great insight and information on Gamecock football and what's going on down in Columbia. And a huge thank you to Will Vandervoort. Will and I go back a long, long way. And I've always appreciated his time. He's a great guy and does a great job with the Clemson Insider. Another guy that does a tremendous job is one Brett Friedlander of the North State Journal. Brett, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Have you survived the Thanksgiving weekend, and are you ready for the college football poll that will probably have Clemson fifth when it comes out tomorrow night?
You're drinking that Dabo Swinney Kool-Aid, aren't you? Yeah, I'm actually starting to recover. We stayed till Saturday morning, left Atlanta 6 o'clock in the morning, and got back here in time to go to the NC State-North Carolina game on Saturday. But, yeah, I'm starting to survive, and I would say don't worry about where Clemson is because they're safely in the top four. Listen, if LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson win, they're in. The playoff has already started. So win and you're in. If Clemson loses to Virginia, I would say they're probably out. But, you know, stranger things have happened. It's all talk right now until next week.
Brett, you care to comment on the North Carolina players stabbing a North Carolina State flag into their 50-yard line, despite the fact that it took them 12 games to become bowl eligible?
You know what? That's for the message boards and Twitter.
Oh, shut Brett, down.
Only diesel, Brett. I tell you what, as we're talking with Brett Friedlander, senior editor of the North State Journal.
I learned a long time ago, you don't write about religion, you don't write about politics, and you don't get in the middle of rivalries because that's a good way to lose half your readership.
Well, you know, North Carolina with a resounding 41-10 victory over NC State, like you said, the MAC attack is in full effect as North Carolina is now bowl eligible. Boston College wins, then fires Steve Adazio, which is an interesting situation there. Of course, Clemson beat South Carolina. Syracuse takes out Wake. Duke, man, what is going on down in Coral Gables? Duke just thrashes Miami. And then, of course, Florida beats Florida State. So some mixed reviews coming out of the ACC this weekend, Brett.
Yeah, you know, listen, this has been a down year for the conference. I mean, Virginia has come on strong at the end, but outside of Clemson, there's really not a whole lot to write about. I mean, they're going to have to find a second team, you know, a team to play in the Orange Bowl. And, you know, what happens if Virginia just gets absolutely clobbered by Clemson? What happens if they lose 56-7? I mean, does the Orange Bowl take Virginia, or do they go with Virginia Tech? Do they go with Wake Forest, which didn't help itself by losing in overtime to Syracuse? So it's been one of those years, and this is one of those years where you just kind of hope Clemson pulls it off, because it's sort of like the year that UNC won the national championship in basketball. You remember the ACC was really down that year too outside of Carolina, but nobody really remembers that because an ACC team won the national championship. So if Clemson wins the national championship, maybe some of the shortcomings of the rest of the league might kind of slip into the shadows there. But this is one of those years, and it goes in particular for NC State, because I was at that game on Saturday, and I just got the feeling that Dave Toren was ready for this thing to be over with so they can start working on improving for next year. And I think the whole conference kind of may have that attitude.
As we're talking with the senior editor of the North State Journal and ACC Insider, Brett Friedlander. Brett, also, you know, Dave Doran, aforementioned NC State head coach, fires his defensive coordinator today. Do you expect any other coaching changes around the league, specifically at Miami?
No, I don't think Miami is – listen, this is Manny Diaz's first year. He's got a honeymoon, and he's got an excuse by saying, look, Mark Richt left me with a lot of garbage that I've got to get, you know, go through and decide who stays and who goes and go out and recruit because, you know, right now it's not where it needs to be. So I think Manny Diaz has a year here where he could kind of palm this off on somebody else. So I don't think you're going to really see too much activity there except for them going out and recruiting. I would be shocked if Doran does not make a few more moves, and in particular, addressing his offensive coordinator situation. Clearly, this co-offensive coordinator situation with Dez Kitchens and George McDonald did not work. Now, it probably didn't help that he had three quarterbacks, none of which really distinguished themselves, but the play calling really left something to be desired. I would expect Dez Kitchens to stay on because he's right now a very important recruiter. And you know, if he does decide to make a move by getting rid of Kitchens, I don't think you're going to see it happen until after signing day. But I would be surprised if they've got co-offensive coordinators next year. As far as everybody else, I mean, look, I mean, Jeff Collins is new. There's not a whole lot of guys on the hot seat right now. And Addazio was not really a surprise either. I mean, they were kind of running a little bit. Patience was running thin with him. He's been there 7 years, never won more than seven games. And it's not unprecedented for a coach to get fired after winning his last regular season game, finishing with a winning record and going to a bowl game, because that's what happened to Tom O'Brien.
Yep. As we're talking with senior editor of the North State Journal, Brett, and ACC insider Brett Friedlander. Brett, where does Florida State go now in replacing Willie Taggart? Do they stay in-house? What names? I know Mike Norvell keeps coming up. Apparently there's a rumor that the Arkansas people were interested in him, and then apparently the comment was made, I'll talk to you, but I'm really waiting on Florida State to offer.
Well, first of all, I can say with 100% certainty that they are not going to stay in-house. They need to clean house because that – how does Florida State drop like it has over the last 2 years? Well, first of all, Jimbo Fisher knew he was leaving and stopped recruiting. And then Willie Taggart just kind of made it worse. So they're not going to stay in house. Everybody who was there is now going to be swept out. They're going to start over fresh. Mike Norvell would be a really good candidate. But here's the thing. They fired Willie Taggart 4 weeks ago. They had a four-week head start on everybody. And now all of a sudden, they're right in there with the pack. Florida State blew this opportunity that they had by making their move early. It'll be interesting to see where they go because I still think it's a very good job with the potential to be a great job just because you're in the middle of all that recruiting hotbed, Florida. We'll see. Another one that you might want to look at, especially up in, you know, here in North Carolina, is I am hearing very strong buzz that Ilya Drinkwitz is going to parlay this you know, potential Sun Belt Conference championship season and head down to Arkansas because he's from Arkansas. That job is open. And do not be surprised if he jumps ship after 1 year and gets the heck out of Dodge while they're getting good.
As we're talking with Brett Friedlander, senior editor of the North State Journal, I want to stay on Florida State here for a minute, Brett. You're as connected as any media person that I know. What exactly did Willie Taggart, you know, it takes something really catastrophic for an administration to pull the plug on a guy a year and a half into his tenure. Same thing happened with Chad Morris at Arkansas, and now all kind of stuff is coming out about what led to that firing. What exactly did Willie Taggart do or not do that they pulled, because that sets a bad precedent when you start firing coaches 16 months into their tenure.
Well, first of all, with Willie Taggart, I think this goes back to his hiring. They had him pegged right from the get-go because of what he did at South Florida. And so there was really not a whole lot of searching going on. They basically, when Jimbo jumped ship, they went right to Willie Taggart. And I just think he was not ready for this. It's one thing to win at South Florida and in the American Athletic Conference, and it's another to come into Florida State, you know, in a Power Five conference and be ready to, you know, to pick up where they left off. So I think he was in over his head right from the beginning. He didn't make good hires for his staff, and you know, he lost a lot of players. There was a lot of defections, people just leaving the program, and that didn't help. And like I said, he also didn't, you know, inherit the best of situations, because I don't think that Jimbo Fisher left him with a cupboard as stocked as it should have been at Florida State. So So it was kind of a combination of things. But I just don't think that they did a very good job of vetting. I think that, if they had it to do all over again, and maybe that's why they're taking so long this time, you want to make sure a guy is a good fit for a job, not just someone who has had some success in your state, but at a lower level.
As we're talking with Brett Friedlander, senior editor of the North State Journal and ACC Insider, Brett, any chance Urban Meyer is the next coach at Florida State?
Nope. I think that if Chad Helton gets fired at Southern Cal, then that's the job that you need to look for. I honestly think Urban Meyer, to be honest with you, and this is just speculation. I have no sources telling me this is the case. But I have a feeling Urban Meyer is holding out for when Brian Kelly either decides to leave to go to the NFL or gets fired at Notre Dame, because I think that is Urban Meyer's dream job. But I think that he would take Southern Cal because that's a gold mine, because the Pac-12 is not a strong conference, and Southern Cal is a tradition-laden program in Southern California with a lot of talent. And so he could go there and be successful right away and then hold out for the Notre Dame job there. But I don't think he's taking Florida State, because I think it's too labor-intensive at this point. There's too much work that needs to be done, and I don't know that it's an overnight fix.
As we're finishing up with Brett Friedlander, senior editor of the North State Journal and ACC Insider, Brett, I want to talk to you about Virginia and the job that Bronco Mendenhall has done. Here's the Wahoos at 9-3. They went 7-0 at home. Wow. They held down the fort there in Charlottesville. 2-3 away. They're on a four-game winning streak, 6-2 in the league. They won the Coastal Division, 9-3 overall. What a turnaround. And nobody's really talking about Bronco Mendenhall and the job that he's done. You know, Mike London really kind of fire torched this Virginia program before he exited stage right to William and Mary. What is it that Bronco Mendenhall has done? I can tell you this, and Clemson's going to find out, or the fans will. The coaches already know it. Virginia's going to hit you in the mouth every chance they get. I can promise you that.
Well, Bronco Mendenhall's a defensive guy, and that's been his team's MO since he was at BYU. But here's the thing. He went out and recruited a dynamic offensive talent in Bryce Perkins. And he is a guy who has really kind of established them offensively to go along with that smash mouth defense. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people had doubts that Bronco Mendenhall, being a West Coast, a Western guy, could come here and recruit, and he has. And, listen, he did a good job in hiring. You talk about what Willie Taggart didn't do. Well, Bronco Mendenhall did do this by hiring guys who were, East Coast guys, like Ruffin McNeil. Now, he may not have been the greatest X and O's coach as a defensive line coach, but you know what? He could recruit the Tidewater area, and he did it at East Carolina, and he did it at Virginia. And, so he has definitely gone out and established himself as an effective recruiter in an area that wasn't familiar to him, and I think that's been his biggest success.
As we're wrapping up with Brett Friedlander of the North State Journal, Brett, of course, does Bronco, or does what a job Scott Satterfield has done at Louisville, although they took it on the chin this past week against Kentucky. Is there any chance that any of those two win Coach of the Year over Dabo this year?
I would hope so, because, Dabo, was dealing with a loaded deck to begin with. So, giving him Coach of the Year is sort of like giving Mike Krzyzewski Coach of the Year, every in the ACC. I think it's one of the two. I think it's either Bronco or Scott Satterfield. I think if Louisville would have beaten Kentucky on Saturday, it would have been a slam dunk for Satterfield. But the fact that, that he lost and won seven games in Virginia, Virginia was picked to win that division. But they had some issues midway through the season and really had to kind of get it back together. And I think that's the mark of a really good coaching job, is that you were able to stop that, turn it around, and then realize the promise that you had at the beginning of the season. If I had to vote right now, I would vote for Bronco Mendenhall, because he won a division championship, and I think that kind of takes precedence. As great a job as Satterfield did, given the expectations of Louisville, winning division is to me the deciding factor.
One more question as we wrapped up with Brett Friedlander, senior editor of the North State Journal and ACC Insider. The statement that is shaking up college football, Dabo going on the rant after the South Carolina game about Travis Etienne being left off the Doak Walker and T. Higgins being left off the Biletnikoff. Brett, you've got ears all over the place. How the heck did those two players, especially Travis Etienne, get left off the Doak Walker Award?
I will tell you exactly how it happened. And, you know, I'm not a big, you know, fan of Dabo complaining about, you know, the bias against the ACC and all that. But it is real. And I think that is, you know, we you joked about them dropping to fifth in the poll. I think that is an extension of what we were talking about. I just think there's a bias against the ACC. There is a national, narrative that it's a bad league. And so you discount the numbers that these guys put up because they're doing it against bad competition. Never mind look at Alabama's schedule outside of LSU.
Yep.
But you know, it's that perception, and perception becomes reality. And they hear it enough on ESPN, and people start believing it, and this is what happened.
Yeah, how quick they forgot about Clemson beating Alabama 44-16, supposedly the greatest team in the history of college football. But I guess the strength of schedule allowed that to happen as well.
And let me tell you something else, too. You know, LSU had to score 40-something points to beat Alabama a couple of weeks ago. Let me see him try to do that against Clemson's defense, which gives up, 12 points a game?
10.4.
Yeah, and so, you know, if LSU has to score 40-something points to win a game, it ain't happening against Clemson. So I think once this playoff comes, that narrative that they play, that they're, propped up by a bad schedule, I think that one's going to go, straight, around the bowl and down the drain.
As always, Brett, appreciate you. Tell our listeners where they can find you on social media. Always a joy having you on the show.
At BFriedACC, that's at BFriedACC.
He is. Brett, thank you. Thank you for your time. We'll see you up in Charlotte. That is Brett Friedlander of the North State Journal, ACC Insider. This has been Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Some bombs dropping on Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate today.
I hope Brett is wrong. He's right more than he is wrong.
I hope he's wrong. That literally punched me in the gut because that literally came out of nowhere. Eli Drinkwitz to Arkansas.
He's heard his name mentioned with it.
Not that it's going to happen.
Granted,
but
it's an easy connection to make because he's from Arkansas.
Right.
He was on Arkansas State staff for a while.
And he was on staff at Auburn with Malzahn.
Right.
They go back a long way.
So it's not a tough connection to make. So then the question becomes, is what do you want to do, man? You've got your team in the Sun Belt in the top 25, potentially competing for a New Year's Six bowl bid. Probably making $500,000. I don't know exactly what he's making as base salary plus incentives on top. So I don't know exactly what he's making. Let's call it $500,000. And everything's going right where you are. So why do you blow that up to go to a god-awful Arkansas?
I can give you $3.5 million reasons why. And hey, look, as bad as you feel for Chad Morris getting fired, he got paid over $10 million to walk away. They can fire me 100 times if they're going to pay me $10 million a time. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Harold. Harold, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. Glad you're back another week. I thought I told you goodbye Wednesday. But listen, as far as the Gamecocks, 8 wins next year and competing for the SEC East to hang you. But what I'm wanting to ask you now, if you was Mac Brown in that Clemson game, would you have went for the tie or would you or the overtime. I think Mike Brown found a way to lose that game, and listen, whoever wins that national championship is going to have to go through Clemson. Now, I'm a Gamecock fan, but I'm telling you, Clemson, I don't know what, they're one of the best teams up there. And I think Georgia and LSU is going to play a big part. But after this weekend, all the cream's going to come to the top. What you think?
Yes, Harold, we're actually gonna jump into that here shortly. Thank you for the phone call. Look, with these championship games, when you get to this point and you're 12-0, which Clemson is 12-0, LSU is 12-0, you're a good football team. I get so ticked off listening to these stupid sports talk show hosts that try to diminish teams that win 9 games or more and then try to make them out like they're bad. You know who's bad? You are, you idiot. Whoever's spouting that nonsense. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Delvin. Delvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I hope you are.
Well, first of all, is D's okay? I thought you were going to have a heart attack with him. I thought you got to check on him for a second, man. I think this is going to happen. I think whoever won the some championship, whoever coach that is, going to be the next head coach, probably Arkansas, either Billy Napier or Eli Drinkwitz. Probably one of those two.
Well, I can promise you this. And Delvin, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. If you want to join the conversation, we no more guests. I front-loaded the show. I wanted to get all of those guys have extensive media obligations. And, of course, Mike Yuva is preparing to do his show there in Columbia. So I wanted to get those guys up first. But the phone lines are open, 844-477-3776. I know there was about 4 or 5 people that called in while we were doing the interviews. Call back in and we'll get you right up. Or you can hit us up on the text line, text ESPN to 71307. There's actually a few texts I wanted to get into because I want to get into the Iron Bowl. Alabama losing again on the Plains. Boy, you want to talk about a guy that's got Nick Saban's number. You know, Gus Malzahn can't beat anybody worth their salt. But he can be a thorn in the side and has been a thorn in the side to Nick Saban. Think about this. Alabama over the last several years is 68-5. Okay, let this sink in. 68-5. And all 5 of those losses have been to either the Clemson Tigers or the Auburn Tigers. Auburn has beaten Alabama 2 out of the last 3 years. Let that sink in. 2 out of the last 3 years, Gus Malzahn has owned Nick Saban, especially on the plains at Auburn. Jordan Hare has been a house of horrors for Nick Saban. Let's bring in Kevin. Kevin wants to join the show. Kevin, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My fellow Chris Peters has retired from Washington today.
He's retired. I think he has resigned, and he's going to end up somewhere else shortly.
I think Arkansas should hire Lane Kiffin, Randy Shannon, and the offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles from Florida State, to go make their staff. I've heard that South Carolina's in the play for Kendall Briles as well. But keeping Muschamp is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. It's not going to get any better with him running the ship.
Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. Look, you got one more year, and he's making the changes that he needs to make. Of course, if you haven't heard today, Will Muschamp pulls the trigger, has demoted Brian McClendon, has kept him on staff, but has pulled the offensive coordinator's title from him, although contractually he will still make over $1 million as in whatever role that he is assigned. Jeff Delman, the strength coach, has been fired. Dan Werner, the quarterback's coach, has also been let go.
Werner was the guy that you thought should be kept around, right?
Dan's done some good things. No, the guy that needs to stay, if anybody needs to stay on that staff, it's Eric Wolford, the offensive line coach. Eric is an unbelievably excellent technician when it comes to the offensive line. And, people can say a lot what they want to about South Carolina and the problems that they've had, but the offensive line hasn't been one of them. The receivers underperforming, you could say that. The quarterback underperforming, you could say that. The injury bug that's plagued this team, I mean, I don't know if you can blame the strength and conditioning coach for that. I tend to disagree with that, and quite honestly, I was shocked at Jeff Delman being let go. I thought he had done – when you look at the body type of these South Carolina players, they are nowhere near what they were 3 years ago. I mean, Javon Kinlaw totally transformed his body. J.C. Horn totally transformed himself. Israel Mukamu totally I mean, that kid was 6'4", 180 pounds, okay, which is a stick guy. I mean, that's more of a basketball player. And look at that kid now. And I don't know if they got – I don't know if there's a philosophical difference about the strength and conditioning. I don't know. You know, one of the callers mentioned – I mean, these are you work out, and you work out a lot.
It seems like a scapegoaty firing.
It does. It does seem like a scapegoaty firing because last year, I mean, Will Muschamp was singing the praises of Jeff Dillman and the way that this team had performed. And, well, you didn't have as many injuries. Well, that could just be a bad year for injuries, which happens. I mean, it happens. Look at the New England Patriots. You know, Diddy's ready to jump off a bridge. I'm going to have to talk to Patriots fans off of jumping off a bridge. Do people realize they had 18 players on their active roster that was out for injury this past weekend against the Texans? 18. Okay, I don't care if you're the New England Patriots. You can't have that many players in the NFL when your roster is limited at 53 anyway out of the game. You need all hands on deck. And the Patriots had 18 inactives for the game against the Texans this weekend. That just happens. Did Belichick fire the strength coach? That doesn't compute to me. There's something else going on. Maybe Will Muschamp brought Dillman in and said, look, I want to change some things about the strength and conditioning program, and here's a direction I want to go. And Dillman could have said, I'm not doing that. If you want to do that, you find somebody else. And Muschamp said, okay, fine, I'll find somebody else. I mean, that's more than possible. Philosophical differences happen a lot in sports where guys just – the head coach wants to go a certain direction and one guy believes in the philosophy that he has. It could be the strength coach. It could be the offensive coordinator. It could be the assistant. It could be anybody. And Will's thinking right now, look, the guy's back is against the wall. I mean, he is on the verge of getting fired. And Coach Muschamp knows as well as the rest of us that if he gets fired at South Carolina, he's probably done being a head coach anywhere, at any program, unless he goes to, like, D2 or maybe the FCS level. And he's not going to do that because of the amount of money that – I mean, he's going to make – I mean, look, let's not feel sorry for Will Muschamp, because if he gets fired at South Carolina, South Carolina is still going to have to pay him double digits to walk away. It may not be the $19 million that they would owe him now. I think it might be somewhere around 12 to 13 if he's fired next year. But if he's asked to let go, look, don't sing the blues, because he will get on somewhere as a defensive coordinator that's going to make $1.5 million, $2 million. I mean, that ain't a bad gig to be a defensive coordinator and make over $1 million to coach football. Now, I don't know if he would command what Dave Aranda does at LSU. Dave Aranda makes over $2 million. Of course, Brent Venables makes over $2.5 million as a defensive coordinator. That's why Brent Venables, Coach V, ain't going nowhere. I mean, there's all the time this speculation that Brent Venables is going to leave to go be a head coach. Why? Why? Where is he going to go where he's going to compete for a national championship almost every year? And Clemson is going, at least as long as Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback, Clemson is going to compete for a national championship. And as long as Brent Venables is the defensive coordinator, they're going to compete for a national championship. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips.
You know, proof that you can't believe everything you read and hear when it comes to coaching carousel rumors is got a lot of traction earlier this morning that Mike Leach had left Washington State for Ole Miss. And it turned out to not be true. It was somebody had created a very accurate fake Twitter account of a big-time writer or sport or a journalist in that area, and it tweeted out that Mike Leach was gone and was heading to Ole Miss. And it got quite a bit of traction before the guy finally saw it and shut the thing down, said, nope, it's not real. I didn't tweet this. It's a fake account. So you can't read everything. You can't believe everything you read when it comes to this.
Well, yeah, and Mike Leach right now is a real hot commodity. His name is being floated around.
Well, he's also in a lot of hot water. When I think it was the mayor of the town or something, or the president of the university, had to shut him down because he went after a reporter pretty hard.
Yes, he did.
In that post game. I understand he was upset because he just got trounced. But, I mean, dude is not a popular guy in Pullman right now, especially with the media
and
community. And they lost.
Yeah, you can't lose the Apple Cup and then attack a reporter the way that he did. But, yeah, the coaching carousel is heating up, of course. The big news today, Chris Peterson resigning from Washington, which was a little bit of a shock. And according to Chris Peterson himself, he said he is not retiring, that he doesn't plan on coaching again, but he just needs to recharge. And, you know, look, people forget, fans forget that coaches are human beings too. That football players and sports athletes are human beings too, with feelings and emotions. And, you know, look, coaching ball, I don't care if it's at the high school level, the JV level, the junior college level, the NFL level, it doesn't matter. It is an exceptionally stressful job because you know going into it that you are hired to be fired. Very few have the luxury at any level of walking away when they want to. And that's really the goal of every football coach, is to be able to go away from the game on your own terms. There were times I was able to do that. There was times staffs I was on was fired. That's part of the game. And unless you're on unless you are the exception to the rule, heck, even Dabo Sweeney was on a staff that got fired. I mean, let's not forget, there was a time he was selling cars. Think about that. Dabo Sweeney. Imagine coming up to a used car lot and Dabo Sweeney's trying to sell you a Volkswagen. I mean, what kind of sales pitch are you going to get? Whatever it is, you better be in line for about 30 minutes because he's going to be long-winded. But Chris Peterson deciding to step away from the game because, in his words, he needs to recharge his batteries. And look, when you're in that grind over and over and over, and you're struggling, which is more than 50% of football programs. I mean, that's a stat that really shouldn't discourage anybody from wanting to be a ball coach at any level, is the fact that more than likely you're going to be at a place where you're going to lose. Because 55%, I believe the last number I saw was 55 to 60% of programs have losing records at their respective levels. And that's how guys get jobs, because one guy doesn't get it done, so another guy gets it. And that's how you get jobs. I mean, let's be honest. If Blue Ridge had it figured out, I wouldn't be there. Our staff wouldn't be there. But they decided to make a change, and somebody that knew me became the head coach, and reached out, and we made it work. But if it was a perfect program, we wouldn't be there. Why would they need to make a change? And that's the way the game works. So, you know, Will Muschamp is feeling that. I mean, Dabo Swinney, I mean, out of all the people that's feeling it, and Brett Friedlander even alluded to it, that with all the people, and look, Brett Friedlander has been in the sports media as long as I've been alive, over 40 years. He's seen it all. He had courtside seats as a member of the media when Len Bias was tearing up the ACC. He saw Ralph Sampson play. I mean, the guy has experience. He's forgotten more sports than most people will ever know. And literally out of his mouth, this national narrative, you know, that Chris Fowler, and you know, that's something else I want to talk about. You know, Chris Fowler just needs to worry about calling the game and shut up when it concerns football, because he don't even know. He doesn't have a clue what it takes to win at that level. And he wants to run his mouth about Dabo Swinney. And then Matt Stinchcomb, imagine that, a Georgia fan, a Georgia player taking issue with Dabo taking it. And he didn't take a shot at Georgia. He spoke the truth. And I think what bubbled over is the fact that Travis Etienne, T. Higgins, are left off of these national awards because of a supposed. And look, the ACC is bad this year. But there's not really a dominant league anymore because of the parity that is college football. That's why you're seeing LSU be able to rise up. That's why you've been able to see Alabama. Alabama struggled this year. Oh, and I've got where's Patrick Brown? Is Patrick Brown still in the building? Because we need to get him on to verify. I tried to tell everybody back in the summer that Alabama was not going to win the SEC, they were not going to win the West, and they were not going to go to the college football playoff. I tried to tell everybody that. Now, the one thing I got wrong was South Carolina. Talk about overvaluing a team, and that most certainly happened. But there was just something that was off, and Gary Danielson, you know, when we come back, I want to talk about this situation with Gary Danielson and the way that he calls a game, because I'm not the only one that feels like this guy's on somebody's payroll. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the final segment of the second hour. This show is just flying by. I want to get to some of these texts. Texer gets in with us and says, a great offensive coordinator could take the job over as head coach like what happened with Malzahn. Of course, Gus Malzahn being the offensive coordinator at Auburn when Gene Chizik was fired, and then he took over and has done a relatively decent job. Why would anybody expect anything different now under Muschamp? Texer gets in and says, I think it's Utah or Washington State. I'm assuming on where Jake Bentley will land. Here's another texter gets in with us and says, why would anyone believe that Will Muschamp is an excellent recruiter? How many players will be drafted this year that was recruited by Will Muschamp? He isn't a good coach. Well, maybe he's not a good head coach. The debate still remains. All right, if he gets let go next year, then that will have come to fruition. But you can't deny the guy can recruit. He recruited Dante Fowler at Florida, who's having an outstanding career in the NFL. Javon Kinlaw for South Carolina. Brian Edwards for South Carolina. They're both going to play in the NFL. Jake Bentley's going to have a shot in the NFL. J.C. Horn is going to play in the NFL. Israel Mukamu is going to play in the NFL. Zach Pickens is going to play in the NFL. Donnell Stanley's going to play in the NFL. Sedarius Hutcherson is going to play in the NFL. So Zach Bailey is in the NFL. Debo Samuel, remember that guy? He's doing pretty well in the NFL for himself. Heck, no DB can guard that guy. You know, maybe that's what they need to do. They need to find out a way to get Debo Samuel another year of eligibility, because since that guy's been gone, they went 0-for against Virginia and then have barely scored 20 points a game. And that's what it comes down to, is explosive playmakers. You know, look, as great as Bryan Edwards has been and the records that Bryan Edwards has broken at South Carolina, he is not an explosive wide receiver. And that's what is amazing to me. And what I mean by explosive is, you know, Debo Samuel is an explosive wide receiver. Debo Samuel can take a five-yard hitch route and go 80 with it. Bryan Edwards can't do that. Bryan Edwards catches a five-yard hitch, he's getting tackled at 6. And he's a big body. Now, you get inside the red zone, he's 6'3". He can box out and he can go up and get the football. There's no question about that. That's how he's made his living. That's how he's broken all those records. You know, but as far as being an explosive wide receiver, Justin Ross for Clemson is an explosive receiver. T. Higgins is an explosive receiver. Don't believe me? Look at, what was it, the second drive of the South Carolina-Clemson game when Trevor Lawrence is flushed out of the pocket and catches, I believe it was Justin Ross on a dime, 65 yards down the field, because he got separation from the defender. That's being explosive. And Bryan Edwards, for all of his greatness since he's been at South Carolina, Bryan Edwards is the epitome of a possession receiver. That's what he does. He makes catches and he gets tackled. I mean, when's the last time we saw Bryan Edwards catch a football, break a tackle, and take it to the house? That's just not what he does. And that's what made the tandem of him and Debo Samuel so special, is Bryan Edwards took pressure off of Debo because you couldn't double both of them. If you doubled Debo, well, then you had to account for Bryan, which allowed Debo to make a lot of plays in space. And that's what South Carolina needs offensively. You know, people talk about, you know, Connor Shaw. And look, South Carolina got lucky with Connor Shaw. They didn't even recruit the kid. He was like fourth or fifth on their board, and it took four or five other guys to get passed on before they finally offered Connor Shaw. And he turned out to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the school. And that's what Will Muschamp's going to have to do. And look, I agree with the sentiment that Diddy made as far as having an athletic quarterback. Look, Luke Doty is an athletic quarterback. I mean, that kid is big and powerful and can run. And to me, he's exactly like Sam Ehlinger, which is a good addition because of the pressure it puts on defenses. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.